Hey, everybody. Me, Nick, and Easy go through a half a dozen, I'd say, NFT projects, and we do a little bit of a lightning round that's a lot longer than your typical lightning round, discussing whether the price is going to go up or if the price is going to go down. We also talk about what we could see happening with this bear market, really just some project analysis, thinking into the future a little bit, and also discussion of, you know, NFT market and NFT technology fundamentals. It's a pretty juicy episode. As usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. In this video, we are discussing what NFT projects will make it to the other side of this NFT bear market. Who our winners are in our mind. As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space is incredibly risky. So always do your own research. And if you enjoy the content, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. Really helps us out. Gentlemen, we're talking NFT projects. We're looking at the OpenSea rankings. We're looking at what is available for people to deploy capital into right now. And, you know, we're in the throes of this bear market. And I think a lot of people feel that this is a actual bear market, like an actual recession of sorts across the board, not just in NFTs or not just in crypto, and that this isn't going to be a situation like December or a situation like September, where it's like a 4-week pullback and then, you know, up only season again. So coming on the other side of this, there's going to be winners, but it's not going to be easy to identify what the best NFT projects are to buy. And so I want to get your perspectives on what the good stuff is. Nick, skeptical face, fire it at me. Hit me with the FUD. Let's go.
I just want to say, hey, Pio, thanks for taking your time to make that intro before allowing me to speak and just carry this show away. You mentioned the other deed side. Yo, it's your boy Nifty Nick coming live from his apartment studio right now. And we're talking.
Pitching sponsors for the studio already?
No. So in terms of, did you intentionally do other side? Like when you said, which projects are going to make it to the other side? Because I'm really bullish on other side.
It's a subtle messaging. It's a subtle messaging he's got going on here to try to incentivize us to agree with him. But personally, I could not agree any less.
That's why we're here. We want to hear disagreement. We want to hear different perspectives. So, you know, we've been discussing Other Deed by Other Side. We can talk about that. We can also talk about CryptoPunks because that's something that we've been talking about. And then we'll look at some lower priced, lower entry point projects too.
I thought we were just running down the project list and saying gonna make it or not gonna make it, and doing a little price prediction on each one. Let's just like knock them out one at a time and just say here's where it's headed. Price prediction. We know exactly what's happening. The low end of this market where we think it's happening within the next couple of months, and then the high end where it's going back to within the next 12 months.
Okay, well then why don't we start? Bored Ape Yacht Club. Nick, take it away.
This is the future of all NFTs. I'm going to say that the lower end of this, though, is 30,000. And then the higher end of this is going to 2 million.
Okay, thanks. Can we get the actual...
What's the time horizon? What's the time horizon here? 3-4 weeks?
We're done. Let's call it a wrap. You're welcome. In terms of timeline down to 30,000, I mean, I think it'll get back down there.
30,000 for a Bored Ape?
Sorry?
I think
that's
they go
low.
Lower.
What?
I think they go lower. Not much. Like, I'm in, like, the 20 to 30 range. I mean, my target for punks is 30K right now. So, like, I think apes are going to be cheaper than punks. I know that's not a agreed upon statement because we have an ape up here, but I think they go lower. I think that entire Yuga ecosystem goes lower.
Here's the thing. So we saw this article this morning, or we were discussing, actually no, at the tail end, the one about Machi Big Brother.
Makai Big Brother?
It's Machi. And
I had no idea who that guy was. That's like,
I've
I don't
heard
know
that
how.
Name.
So
it was a massive ape holder.
I'm familiar with this guy. I don't know him personally, but I've seen him around, and he was always flexing on people with all the apes that he has.
It's him and Franklin.
He has a lot of apes.
Yeah, Franklin like looks at him and says, so, you know, I want to have more apes than him.
This article did not explicitly state that there's money laundering going on here, but to me, a large portion of the NFT space does involve money laundering. And the only reason I say that is because it makes a ton of sense that like you would have money flowing through NFTs coming from various places, getting washed through, because there were so many scams that occurred over the years and there was no clear way to get that money out. So you had to set up like DeFi pools and like put the money in there and funnel that. That was like the most common path. And that was the example that was used in the article, was essentially them setting up projects that they ended up shutting down days later. And I've seen, I had tried to do an interview with this guy and he, not Machi Big Brother, but another one comparable. I had reached out to him about doing an interview and it was really just like a photo. He had used a photo of him and his wife, just like, you know, us just traveling the world. And it seemed like he was really struck me as someone, and this is really casting judgment, but someone who was like, I pictured, what's that Netflix show where they go to the...
The Tinder Swindler?
No, where they go to the Midwest. It's the actual fake show about them going at Ozark. And have you watched that?
I've seen parts of it, yeah.
And so, okay. So this guy was like the real life Ozark version from what I could tell from seeing this guy. And I'm thinking, okay, like there's no doubt... You need those apes to be more expensive in order to move money by any significant volume, right? And so you and you also have to sit on them. So there's a whole process that ends up going on in there. I just think that there's a lot of money in here at the higher end where that stuff needs to wash through and they need that to continue.
And so they wash it by what? Buying NFTs with this decentralized wallet because they can use that dirty money and it's okay, and then selling the NFT, and once they sell the NFT, the money's clean?
Yeah, you can get another person in where there's clean money that comes in to buy something. Another person then uses that money to like dirty it, but like it's not, it takes the dirty money, buys it from that person, and then moves that money out. And so I think, and you can get even more like convoluted with that process. But that to me seems like it makes a ton of sense. And I've seen a lot of wallets on here where it's just like, what's going on with this wallet? Like it just doesn't, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Strange behavior.
Yeah. So like the reality is, how many people want to go spend $500,000 on JPEGs? The traditional art market, from the people that I've spoken with who actually spend legitimate money, like they'll just go, I have a relative who will go just drop $50,000 on like a random antique or something like that. To most people, that's a pretty significant sum of money, right?
Yep.
Including myself. Yep. And if you go out and you just like purchase that, but that same person has no interest in the NFT space, and the vast majority of people don't either. And when you look at traditional art, you look at the Damien Hirsts of the world, and it's 7,000 or something like that. And so when you think about that, it's way harder to launder money through the Christie's of the world and stuff like that. They KYC their customers. They're known for trying to like prevent money laundering, even though the art market is filled with it.
Yep.
This just makes a ton of sense. And specifically the fact that there's been so many hacks in the crypto space in past years. We saw it with that couple who tried to launder billions of dollars.
Yep.
And then you see other people who that's existed. It seems like NFTs would be a phenomenal way to do that. You need multiple parties in order to make that happen. But anyways, we're on a long rant about money laundering.
You have an ape as a profile picture, and you just provided an elegant story on how the entire Bored Ape ecosystem is propped up via money laundering. So
I'm not saying that the whole ecosystem is. I just think at some point, Bored Ape Yacht Club has made occasional errors, but they've never made anyone that was like severely devastating, like that I can remember. Like their execution,
other deed was the worst.
There were some flaws with that, and it's not going so well. But what you start doing is, the longer that it goes, the easier it is to tarnish the reputation of that thing. That's almost why I think selling CryptoPunks to them actually kind of made sense.
It made sense because Larva Labs founders weren't interested in building anymore.
But also, like, when you think about it from an art standpoint, it enables people, if you can, the original Bored Ape thesis, and we've discussed this with the IP side of things, makes a ton of sense. At the price it is currently at, though, like, you don't go buy a laundromat for a couple hundred thousand dollars and then an ape for $500,000. Like, no one's just doing that. It's not a thing. It's not necessary. And I think, like, traditional businesses don't need a bored ape in order to do it.
The thesis behind bored apes is that as the old antique collectors and art collectors from the traditional art world, like the person that you mentioned earlier in the show, die and no longer are alive deploying that capital, the young people that are Easy Eats' age and younger and insanely successful, the Logan Pauls of the world, the people that are in high school right now blowing up as influencers, their version of that flex will actually be a combination of physical and digital, and they won't look at digital stuff differently. And the cultural significance that Bored Ape Yacht Club has earned at this point in the NFT space will cause it to be like the holy grail asset, like a Charizard card from the Pokemon ecosystem, or like these different Magic the Gathering cards and things like that. On top of that, you can then use that intellectual property for branding for a business, and you're a person that's branded your internet persona on the back of a bored ape. So of all people to understand that, I'd imagine you would be one.
I'm probably in the top 100 apes, like, in terms of from a branding standpoint.
Probably not, no. I'd probably say maybe top 800.
You're automatically 54 because Franklin has 53. So that alone is half of that top 100. And then if we take this guy,
I'm not talking about the individual apes. I'm talking about the holders.
All of Franklin's apes. There's countless slideshows.
What I see above me is two people jealous that they don't own apes. So
I'm giving Nick a hard time. Nick is without question a top 100 bored ape in terms of branding. It's not even a fucking question. I was just giving him a hard time.
But like, the also the other thing is, like, what's the brand associated with it? Like, what can you brand where, like, weed? Okay, I could see weed being like having a weed business. Coffee? Maybe.
All this stuff is still developing. We're 1 year into it. Like, what are we going to be saying 5 years into this stuff? Going to be saying a lot.
Okay.
Going to be saying a lot.
I was like, what are we going to be saying 5 years into this experience?
A lot of words.
A lot of things. That's
multiple sentences.
Someone said a burger shop. I like that. That's not bad. Someone said a hospital. That'd be hilarious. No. Bored Ape Hospital. You're Bored like, Ape do General. You want to die?
Definitely a theme park. Definitely Ooh, a theme park.
A theme park would be sick.
That would be sick. I like that. And Other Deeds theme park.
It's
may
basically
be
interesting. It's going to be like a good theme park. It's going to be like if hipsters made a theme park. So you're going to go there and you're going to be able to get actual fucking like cappuccino and actual good food and stuff.
It's cappuccino, but yeah.
Cappuccino. It's cappuccino if you really want to get into the mix. But I mean, think about it. You're going to be able to get actual good food versus bullshit hot dogs and stuff and actually have fun at the Bored Ape Yacht Club theme park. Just saying. Just telling you. So back to the point of the show, which is which projects are going to emerge as winners. I personally believe that Bored Ape Yacht Club will obviously emerge as a winner. I'd love to. Nick is like Mr. You know, price predictions, and Easy's no slouch with it too. I'd love to hear bottoms and tops from you guys on Bored Ape Yacht Club. What's the bottom here? Have we already seen it? Are we going to see it? And then when we go, you know, bull cycle again, whenever the fuck that is, you know, what's the top going to look like on that?
The top
of the which part of it for board?
So right now, have we already seen the bottom of Bored Ape Yacht Club in this Bears? Okay, and so what's the bottom going to be?
I just said it. We just went through this.
25-30K is my range. Nick's 30. I'm at 25-ish, I guess. Upper range, obviously, in 5 years after multiple conversations, there's a good chance it's over the 100,000-200,000 mark. But we'll see how many more NFTs they dump into the ecosystem.
Okay. And then Other Deed. This is the hot topic right here, Other Deed. It looks like the floor on Other Deed is about $2,000, a little bit more than $2,000 here. Where are we going? We going down? We going up?
We're going down. Down.
Other Deed?
Down.
Yep, Other Deed.
It's dead.
$600 is my cost target on it. Whether that's ETH getting down to 600 and we're all in an absolute panic and they hold one ETH, or they drop sub one ETH, which is what I'm betting on. There's another 100K of the worst possible land. I know we talked about it this morning. I know everyone told me, but that's for the developers and the community people. That's not saying they're not going to dump it. It's free money right now in a down market. Like, if we're still downtrending in August, this is trading under one ETH.
Nick?
I feel the same. I think 0.5 ETH would be my target on this.
Well, they have the game preview too. If that game preview is even remotely bad, the entire Yuga ecosystem is going to see a pullback.
Here's the thing. Remember my whole money laundering hypothesis? We've seen NFTs continue to do well. But who are the people that are trading continuously? Like, that's the real question that I have. Like, who are those people? And like right now, anyways, my main point is, like, if you put on your rational hat for a moment, all of these prices are stupid.
Sure. Still. Well, what's an appropriate price?
I still punk at like 30K though. I don't care how stupid that is. I want it.
Well, yeah. What's a fair price, Nick? Forget about Other Deed because it's so hard to conceptualize because it's digital land for a game that doesn't exist yet.
How much is the value? Like, what's the upper bound of a Magic the Gathering card?
I think it's like $100,000. Kix would know best. I think it's like $100,000.
Yeah, it's difficult for me to say.
The thing is, the one part about NFTs is that they are digital collectibles with superior technology. So just like how your iPhone is better than the rotary phone that your grandparents used or your parents used in the 60s and 70s, the digital collectibles are better than the physical collectibles because they can be transferred globally through a marketplace in an instant. I can sell something to someone in Japan and it's verifiable on the blockchain. There's no need for authenticity. There's no need for shipping and handling. There's no need for verification or grading of quality.
I just did a quick Google search. The most expensive Magic the Gathering card is the Black Lotus, between 100 and 250 grand.
So a physical... Okay.
The second most expensive.
Our commenters were posting that, by the way.
I still used Google. But now the second most expensive is some, I don't even know what the name is, is estimated between 3,500 to 15K. So it's like the number one card is worth a ton, but number two drops significantly in the price.
Someone says, Nick, you can't compare the first ever digital collectibles built on top of a digital blockchain to a fucking Magic card. That's crazy.
You can.
And Tyler, no, I literally did it. That's what just happened. I actually did it.
And it is appropriate, but the thing is the digital factor needs to be priced in, and the digital factor is an expensive one. Digital collectibles are better than physical collectibles in basically every way. They're just better. The kids that are children now will prefer digital collectibles because they'll recognize that they're better. I don't have to worry about my card getting wrinkly. I don't need to worry about my card being destroyed in a fire. I don't need to worry about my card being authentic. It's all there on the blockchain. It's in the official collection. Digital collectibles are better, and thus they will fetch a higher premium. But what is that premium? And I mean, the other funny thing is like, people probably think what's going to make like CryptoPunks cool again. Like, let's say everything goes way down and it's like this stuff isn't that cool anymore. You have to keep in mind that Bitcoin, the thing that everybody thinks is not cool and boring, popped back up in 2020 and was like the cool thing. Like, the most boring thing to all these crypto guys came through and was like cool AF, you know? And like, going into NFT NYC, it's been interesting hitting up like normie people about going to NFT NYC events. And you can tell that like NFTs are not as hot as they were like 8 months ago at all, like not even close right now, you know? But the bottom line is this stuff is cyclical, and when it comes back, it hits hard. So all these factors need, that's why it's so hard to make these predictions, is because there's so many factors. And then also a cool person like, I don't know, Drake could just come out and just be like, yo, only NFTs. Here's why. And he just sweeps the floor on Bored Apes, you know? So there's so many factors that are hard to account for.
I agree.
You think a half ETH though, Other Deeds. So like $500 Other Deeds.
Here's my issue with Other Deeds. They have to turn that game into something that people give a shit about. The only what they
you know
give
how
a shit,
difficult that is.
They give a shit about Bored Apes, but like every game that they've produced so far is like boring. Like it's just not a great game. And so now they're partnering with a team that's going to make a great game. I just don't think they're just not there yet. And it just seems so absurd. Why are you buying it today at these prices? It's just, it's literally at this point, pure speculation. My own frustration with it is that that's also broadly the NFT market. Like it's just a fact of the matter. There was a guy sitting across from me at a dinner the other night, and he was the founder of Crypto Art Museum or Museum of Crypto Art, and which is a well-known thing among the crypto people. They have spots in Decentraland and other spots in other areas. That guy was so pissed off about like the speculative market and how it's like hurt people because there's people who've lost money in the space and that it's not a net, it's not a value generator.
Of course it's a value generator. Go ahead.
But there's not like money that's printed out of thin air. There's people putting money in, into the space. So it doesn't like, it's not like you're leasing your land and people are renting it right now.
The idea would be that happens in the future.
Yeah, but right now there's no value creation beyond minting more things, of which there's infinite potential supply.
Yep.
So from that standpoint, the short story is he prefers art. He also happens to run the largest art and is the largest holder on Super Rare. So he's probably a little frustrated with the fact that that space has not blown up to the degree that one would hope. But the reality is that the speculative aspect of things is what attracts a ton of people to the space and then ends up resulting in more people adopting NFTs, and then it goes from there. But like, what the fuck is Other Deeds? Like, there's 100,000 of them. There's about to be 200,000 of them. They did these really great pictures of land, but like, I don't know what it is. And with that level of supply, to me, it's so crazy because I don't know. It's just crazy to me. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, the amount of money that's gone into Other Deeds. To me, it was an opportunity for institutions to get access to NFTs or exposure to that market. And that's exactly what it did. You saw a lot of people like swooping up various land deeds, but they're taking a wild bet.
It's a massive bet. Like, it's like there's multiple people buying CODAs on uncommon land and like mutant land for 30 plus ETH day one. Like, completely speculative. We don't even know what this game looks like. Like, it's insane.
And I have so much exposure to this space already, which is why I'm just like, and all the people that have exposure to it, here's what's happening right now. All the people that just had multi-million dollar portfolios that now don't, that have sub 1 million, sub half a million dollars, that all those people that have watched their money go down are disappointed about the fact that they watched their money go down. And so they're going to scrutinize further the decisions that they're making, basically. And the problem is until the macro market becomes bullish again, which it's not just going to like suddenly happen in the short term. There may be some short-term catalysts which end up driving a temporary run in crypto and things like that, but it just doesn't make any sense to me. Fundamentally, when shit hits the fan, a lot of the people in this market were not traditional art collectors who had a bunch of money. They're people who made speculative money the same way that they did with ICOs and got fucking wrecked. And they hated that aspect of how they got wrecked, and it created a really negative experience for those people. And so a lot of them are going to be like, fuck NFTs. So you just lost a portion of volume with that. And then you're also just dealing with the people who love NFTs, but have also watched a large percentage of their net worth implode. They're going to be a little more skeptical as they move in, and they're saying, how do I get more money and like out of this again? Will I ever get back to that? What is my move in life right now? Like, that's legitimately what they're thinking.
Right. And also what we're talking about is exactly what happens every crypto cycle. It's just identical. It's exactly what happens every crypto cycle. And we're not even in the real depths of it. You know what I mean? We're just not. So like, if things are going to go lower, it's only going to be way more of what you're talking about. And then the people are going to get flushed out. And then over time, it's just going to get back to what it was again. And we're just going to see the blow off tops. And I have to put Bored Ape Yacht Club ecosystem in the category of things that are going to pump again.
Oh, they're going to make it. Everyone wants an ape. Like, you're going to buy it. And there's so much money that they're investing in the space. It doesn't mean, like, I still value it. I'm still holding it. I'm not selling it. I probably should have, reduced my exposure further to NFTs if I wanted to have, it would have been cool to have an extra $500,000. Like, that would have been really nice.
Would be great.
You say that now, right? But it's like, and sure.
I'm not like furious about it, but yeah. No, but objectively, I'm just telling you, money in the bank gives you options.
Of course.
And money in NFTs gives you way less.
Well, it's easy to say that now, right? Like after the crash, it absolutely is easy to say that now. If you sold if you had been holding a punk for 3 years or 2 years that you bought for hundreds of dollars or like $1,000 and you sold it at $40,000 and then you thought you were a genius and then they went to $400,000, you might feel kind of weird. And then they go back down to $40,000. It's just like this crazy emotional roller coaster that comes with these crypto cycles. There's also layers to this stuff where if you study Bitcoin and you study what these on-chain analysts are putting out there, there's so many different theories. There's theories that the cycle will start to evaporate and that it's actually evaporating right now. So maybe we're just going to see some new shit that we've never seen before. We saw like a double top on Bitcoin's price. If you look at the chart this cycle, it's way different than the previous cycles. People tried to compare it to 2013, but it's kind of its own beast. So all these different factors come into play, which makes the space so damn unpredictable. And the bottom line is like NFTs attracted a lot of degenerate gambling and a lot of people that were slinging capital around that had no idea which way was up. So I think you're talking about a lot of that. And then I saw one commenter say something, and I think he was dead serious. He said something like, don't you know that crypto and NFTs are over? So that's like a person that's referring to the space like as crypto, right?
Those are my absolute favorite posts. The bottom's so close.
We're definitely going, but like even him saying like crypto is like an interesting thing to say. And then I like talking about other deed. I almost want to sell both my other deeds right now at the bottom. So I'm just out and nobody can say that I'm biased at all just because I own two other deeds that quite frankly, I don't give a shit like about the fact that I own them because I want people to understand what I'm really saying. And I want it to go down as like an unbiased opinion. I have a firm belief that people have a really hard time like seeing the future, like extrapolating what's going to come in the future. And when you look at old videos of Michael Saylor, for example, there's like videos from 15 years ago from like early iPhone time where he basically predicts everything that ended up happening. Like absolutely everything. He's like taking the iPhone. He's like, yeah, this, and this is going to happen. And he's just totally right about all that. And there's a video of Jim Morrison from The Doors in the 1970s predicting that music is going to turn into one guy with a machine. And the way he describes it, it's just literally predicting a DJ. There's a video of Francis Ford Coppola, the director of The Godfather in the 70s as well, talking about how camera technology is going to progress and become cheaper to make, that any consumer is going to have a professional grade camera. And it's going to be possible to make incredible stuff just at your house. And then you get guys like Cole Bennett that end up emerging as music video directors with that prosumer equipment, right? So there are visionaries. There are people that see the future. And guess what? 99% of the people that are trading NFTs, commenting on this video, hanging out in Discords, don't see the future.
No, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. It's the distinction is between seeing the future. You can see the future.
Yeah.
And a lot of the startups in the 90s that were in the technology space saw the future. They're now equivalent versions of those startups that have now materialized into actual businesses. The problem is timing is the most important thing with the market. And if you're off with your timing, you're completely screwed. If you're on with your timing, the timing can often make a business no matter your execution. And so I just think like that's something that needs to be, a lot of us believe in the future of NFTs. And I think a lot of the people, everyone in the comments, I believe, are watching this because by and large, the majority of them believe that there's an opportunity in this space. And I think that that's something that everyone sees and acknowledges. I just think that the more difficult thing is, like, what do you do with that knowledge? Like, what's the play that you end up doing? And right now, I even think, like, look, our coverage of anything outside of speculative collectibles is very limited within our own project. But then I was chatting with somebody about, like, IPFS and the idea of mutable NFTs, where you're able to take your identity with you. For example, this has the potential to completely disrupt the advertising business that exists today.
It's going
to
disrupt literally every single business. It's the manifestation of Bitcoin's technology disrupting the entire world. That's what it is. That's what it is. I don't know what it is.
But I'm talking, dude, the NFT has nothing to do with Bitcoin, but
it's
blockchain technology.
It's Bitcoin's technology. Bitcoin.
And Satoshi, yeah, like, envisioned us flipping the apes. I totally get it.
Sometimes you make something that becomes much bigger than you. And this is what we're seeing right now. What I will say, though, on your point on timing is totally right. It was kind of weird timing to just drop 100,000 deeds of land with 10,000 codas on them and not explain what any of it is and say that there's going to be 100,000 more 6 months later and then have a humongous bear market happen. That was kind of weird timing for sure. We don't know anything.
And if you think the fact that, like, I forget how you claim that land. They could end up adjusting it. By the way, we made it through literally two projects during this show so far.
This is a great show, though. Is it not? Is it not? It's a great show.
You talked about apes and other side price action, and then Bitcoin and how it controls everything, and how if you don't believe in Bitcoin, you're not controlled yet.
We get it. Blockchain technology is going to make a big impact on the future. But really, the reason that I just say that is that, like, we're so early on that front, and this speculative environment has actually enabled the NFTs to kind of gain attention well before they're actually prepared to exist, I think, and in a mainstream way. And that's something that's, like, really exciting. What are you seeing there?
And I'm like, smiling. I'm listening to you, but I am smiling.
Some of these comments are amazing. Comments, dude. Satoshi is Janet Yellen is my favorite one right now. That is absolutely hilarious.
There's a lot of really fun comments right now. But, like, just to honor the title of this video, this has been a great back and forth with all three of us. This has been fantastic. I always love when we get Nick, cranking out opinions. I think they're fantastic. Let's do a couple of lower-priced projects.
Some lightning round here.
Goblins.
Yeah, goblins.
Price go
no,
down.
Seriously.
Price go down. Absolutely.
What's going to make it go up?
Nothing. I think now Truth goes up and Illuminati goes up. That's my bet here. Goblins sub one ETH. Honestly, I don't even think they hold 0.3 in the long term.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm talking just complete
shots
destruction.
Fired. Destruction. Nick, what do you think?
I think Goblin Town does well. I actually think that we're near a low. I think that this has serious upside potential. I think the distinction was you didn't want an Illuminati pyramid as your profile picture. This one you do, and they built this meme. I think their reveal was not good, but what they just demonstrated was their phenomenal, their execution ability.
Nick, and this is lightning round.
Okay.
This is Easy's lightning round, buddy.
Lightning round.
All right, I'm going to say the low is 2.
So Nick, first of all, we didn't mean to make you so mad in, like, the snap of a finger. You just went from being, like, normal mood to just so mad immediately. So I didn't want to do that. That you kind of just got so mad.
Pia, what you need to do is turn off your screen when you're hosting these so that you can actually just listen to my voice.
Oh, okay. Because you're
because then you won't be able to do an analysis of how I'm feeling.
Okay, all right. We got a mad co-host, ladies and gentlemen. We got cranky co-host syndrome.
Pio, it's like being like, you know, one of the issues with Pio right now is he's just a real piece of shit and has an attitude. And how are you going to react to that, Pio? So how are you going to react to that?
I'm going to laugh because I think you're fucking hilarious. So
One of the issues with Pio is he knows nothing about blockchain technology. But please, Pio, tell me what your price prediction is here.
So Ben Jammin,
what's your goblin price?
Benjamin commented, and Benjamin threw out three really good projects to talk about. I love the three that he brought up. He brought 10KTF up, okay? So my lightning round response is that 10KTF 1,000% plugs right into...
You didn't say Goblin Town.
Yeah, you skipped Goblin.
Oh, my Goblin Town? I think it goes down. I think that 0.3 is a pretty aggressive price. I could see like a 0.8 floor. The reason being is it's so damn hard to keep these things going, and now that it's been disclosed that a team that already had an NFT out is behind it, albeit it's an incredibly well-connected team, you're basically buying into their connections and you're anticipating future execution. If they make like a burger chain and they leverage this IP and it's really strong, I think that it could be strong, but now you have these two ecosystems. All this opinion is based on is my respect for how hard it is to get this stuff to be, you know, to perform well. And you have the pump on Illuminati already. So I think that we get some proper price discovery and maybe some fair pricing on Illuminati. And that's where we're at right now. I think maybe Goblin Town was inflated or is currently inflated. I don't see it going to like 80 ETH. I think that it could hold above a 1 ETH floor, but I think the direction is down and probably Illuminati trades flat. Maybe you look at Illuminati as like the kind of proof and you look at Goblin Town as like the Moonbirds, and then the airdrop is Oddities. So that's my thoughts on Goblin Town. If we move on to 10KTF, my thoughts on 10KTF is that it falls fully into the category of ahead of its time. People don't understand it and it'll see its day. I think Beeple is dead ass serious about keeping 10KTF going. I think 10KTF is the collectibles collection that falls under Beeple, and that's not going to change. Beeple is worth over $100 million. He's set. He's good. He's going to keep selling.
He's worth
one
over $100 million.
$69 million sale.
He got $50 million out of that.
Why?
He said Logan Paul's interview that into his bank account was deposited $50 or $55 million right then.
Okay. Cool. Well, there you go. He's got that plus the other drop he did on Nifty Gateway, plus the first drop he did on Nifty Gateway, plus the Madonna auction that he just did, plus that one of one auction that he did that we saw.
He's got like $30 million.
I think that is an underestimation, man, because he sold that box at Christie's. You forgot about the box.
How much was that?
I'll look it up when you guys are talking. But real quick, 10KTF. What's the floor of 10KTF? A half ETH?
Unliminal. Right now, I love unliminal.
It's 0.62. What word did you just say?
That's their username.
In the comments, who just said Nick is annoying.
That's good. That's great. Nick. He said, holy, Nick is effing annoying. That's like the rudest. I've never wrote a comment that rude, unliminal. And I'm telling you, I work with Nick and he's not annoying.
Is that really that rude?
It's pretty
rude. You have to really go out of your way to emphasize how bad of a time you're having to then comment on it.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot of commenters that stick through all of our programs and listen to all of our shows and then are literally like and just say that we suck, and it's hilarious because they just like keep listening.
Oh, he loves you, Nick. He loves you.
I'm consuming 50 minutes of your content, and I wanted to let you know that you suck. And I'll see you for 90 minutes in the morning tomorrow and another 50 minutes tomorrow.
And I will see you for 2.5 hours tomorrow, okay?
But real quick, to put a bow on 10KTF, I think 10KTF is going to emerge as like the most obvious thing ever. I don't know if it's a buy right now. I don't know if we go deeper into this abyss and it trades at 0.2 with ETH at $800. But 10KTF, I view as something that comes out on the other side as a winner.
All right, I'm going to help you both understand what a lightning round is. It's pretty easy to do. So let me just put this into context. 10KTF, price is going to go up. I believe a higher target is maintaining over a 1 ETH floor in the next run.
Lightning round,
10KTF will go over a 1 ETH floor. Man, I have no idea. Dude, 10KTF is so complicated. I don't know how you actually... like articulate what the price, just the floor of 10KTF is a project. It's good. Right now it's around a good price.
When the metaverse is fully realized, when it's actually a thing in X number of years,
I think Gucci apes will be like a thing. I don't know about their like materials. I think that they're completed items, maybe, but you don't really need it.
They're the original OG Holy Grail Metaverse clothing company.
That's true. That's true.
Holy Grail.
And that's why it's going to be really expensive when you buy a piece for $500. Like, to me, it just seems unreasonable. Like,
it's a digital asset. Could you imagine
so 30 years from now, you're going to be walking around in your digital robe that you paid $300,000 for? Get the hell out of here. It's just not going, it's not going straight up to the moon. One thing I did want to say, total tangent, is someone had called me Bored Nick in the comments. So I just bought that domain. So there we go.
You fucking, I hate you. I bought a domain during the show because it just popped up. All right, lightning round. Pixel Vault, price predictions.
Price go down.
Okay. It's more. More price more. Go down.
More price go down. What have they delivered?
A partnership.
A partnership with the UFC.
Great. They're going to drop more NFTs. Price go down.
Okay, I think the Adidas ones are interesting to me. That's about it. I'm not interested in the other stuff.
I think they're going to consolidate the different sets of collections into a more clear, you know, this is the stuff and you can burn X and get Y. Or so. I think that there's going to be some kind of consolidation, and I think back on track. And I think execution for video game equals price go up long term. Price stays the same, goes lower short term. That's what I think.
Someone just called out NFT Worlds. That's a project I do think price go up.
What's and price at now?
Also, Benjamin pointed something out. They have a lot of shit coming out in the next few months. I think there's a strong possibility that they make something materialize with Pixel Vault. I think actually right now they're also they've gone through so much shit. And frankly, they have to clean up a ton of stuff. I also think the whole Planet DAO thing is an absolute joke.
What is the point?
Yeah.
The planets. What's the point?
It doesn't make sense to
it's
me.
Just
so
more NFTs. And UFC said, is going to be more NFTs.
So someone said they don't like how I said Adidas, because we're in America. they prefer that I say Adidas, which is how I used to say it until I spoke with someone who worked at Adidas.
And they insisted on calling it Adidas.
And that's just what they call it. And that's literally what it's called. That would be like, you know, just calling me something random because you don't like my name. That's how they treated immigrants coming off the boat when they arrived to America. So I don't know if you understand it. So it seems like what he's saying, I'm saying that he made a racist comment. So really, there you go.
It is. Real quick, when you look at the planets, there are so many planets. There's got to be a burn or something.
They're over 200K.
It's a lot. It's a lot of planets. Like, individual planets are 10,000 piece collections. Like Saturn or something is like a 10,000 piece collection. It's a lot. It's a lot of NFTs. And then there are a lot. So I think that has to get cleaned up. But guess what? They made a lot of money off selling those things, and they raised more money, and they're good at collaborations.
They're gonna keep dropping more projects. It's just, there's going to be a million different Pixel Vault items. It's going to be chaotic. The price of all of them is going to keep going down because there's a million pieces. It's just like Top Shot. They oversaturated the market. We saw this with Top Shot. Too many NFTs is a bad thing, and they're hitting everything on that. They just keep pumping them out. More partnerships, more announcements, most likely means more NFTs.
I got so okay. fucked with my holdings on those.
Okay. All right. Fair. So last thing though, I think that they know how to manage a business from what I've seen from them, and they have a lot of money. So that is something to keep in mind. I don't think it's a situation
wow,
where
the floor on this is 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5 on Moonbird Oddities. I worry about an increase in supply in the proof ecosystem with this. There's 10,000 of these. I think he dropped these in the timing that he did to give value to holders before this bear market. He's pretty damn plugged in. He probably saw this bear market coming.
He called the people who created the bear market, was like, yo, are y'all going to create the bear market? Hold on one sec. I'm dropping these owl pellets.
I gotta airdrop owl shit here to save my holders from negative price action.
Nick, Herbivore asked if you pronounce Los Angeles with a Spanish accent the way it's supposed to be said.
Los Angeles.
So easy, lightning round, Moonbird Oddities.
Price Las Vegas.
Price go up?
Price go down. Price down. Yeah, I think they're going to touch one.
Ooh. Nick, Moonbird Oddities. Price go up, price go down.
Why did we pick this one? How did we end up on this?
Because people ask me about it in the comments 50 times.
It's going down, yeah.
I think price go down. Wait, are these not revealed?
This is revealed.
I don't know if there is a revealed thing. I have no idea what this says.
No, it can't be this. How would that make sense? ERC 721, a bunch of just this thing?
Well, just like Max Payne, that's supposed to reveal probably in a couple more days here, I would assume. Similar idea. It'll happen eventually. No,
I feel like Gremlin's got to drop like an oddity. Maybe he's working on them right now.
They revealed July Gremlin art.
Yeah, they're going to reveal. So they're going to go up before the reveal, right?
In 3 months? That's what we'll reveal in a month. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, what a...
What do you think, Nick? Reveal in a month. Price go up, price go down.
There's a reveal on these?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
As I just thought through right there, and it proved to be true. Look at that. My thinking on point. The guy gets NFTs. Okay.
Well, it's because of your deep understanding of Bitcoin.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Now we're starting to get it. Yes.
Remember... This you were a big fan of Plan B. You remember how much conviction you had in Plan B?
I still do.
Plan B looks like he's ready to jump off a ledge, basically, on his Twitter account.
Yeah, right. He's feeling great right now. Plan Bizzle.
Have you been looking at his Twitter account?
I follow him closely.
He's been popping up and saying like, "Hey guys, no, yeah, I am doing okay." You know, you end up riding it all the way down when you end up holding these sorts of things, and it's just like this dark thing, which is like. No. Bro,
he's dealing with a big following is what he's dealing with. He's got 2 million followers. He's not used to that. He's a normal guy. He's not used to all the people slinging bullshit at him.
Dude, he was being quoted by everyone as the price of Bitcoin is going to $500,000, which is what you were doing as
it
well.
It is going to.
And you
to
had so much conviction. By the end of the year. That's no, what the statement was, 250,000 by the end of the year.
Like 200,000, yeah.
Yeah, and it was way off. Like, and what that drove people to do was buy Bitcoin at 60,000. That was what it drove people to do.
Yeah, so he's dealing with that.
Yeah, which is, yeah, being completely wrong.
Yeah, he's good. So, I'm not worried about him.
I'm just saying, like, if you're like,
I'm a little worried about him.
If you're using that analysis to like, and having an entire group of people. He didn't have a plan B. Literally, like the there was no plan B. No, I appreciate that you're a big fan of him,
dude. All I'll say is that this is just again hilarious. Dunking on Plan B's stock to flow model is literally LOL funny, even though it was invalidated. Like it's still LOL funny. Give it another 5 years. Let me know if you're still dunking on it. Let me know how it is in 5 years. I'm serious.
When was it invalidated? After it was pumping, basically, it got invalidated as it was going down. And the whole, all that I'm saying is that like it was, he was wrong. But everyone was like, I remember you even saying it with the utmost conviction. The whole point is, and the only reason that I'm bringing this up is when we discuss price predictions in action, half of that game is selling, and no one's selling shit.
Dude, you're obsessed with selling Bitcoin, which is LOL funny, dude. At the end of the day, right? Sure, if you
stop
need
calling it LOL funny. Like, dude, not laughing, just like this is LOL funny that you would even think about selling your digital gold.
Look, people have different mentalities. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that, right? And I get it, Nick. You love selling things. It's fantastic. Our audience loves selling things. So you're going to have an army behind you of people that are like, aha, like you sell things. Let's go. You know what I mean? But the bottom line is the people that held Bitcoin from the early days, they're the aha guys, even right now at 21K. And they're getting on with their lives where we are getting on
with
our
working
lives.
All these people are working regular fucking jobs now and really frustrated about the because their boss sucks. And they may be suffering like layoffs and things like that. And they're basically being like, yeah, I have to still, sorry that my performance has not been up to par, sir or ma'am. My apologies. I got a little carried away trading JPEGs for a bit there. Like, yeah. I just feel like
someone just asked if I'm a trust fund baby. I was raised by a single mom who was a school teacher and an immigrant, and I grew up without any child support or father figure. So I'm going to go ahead and say that's not what a trust fund baby is. And the bottom line is, like, there's just so much gambling and so much overexposure in the space, right? Yeah, I get it. You guys have to sell because you like take all your money and you put it into an NFT and you're like, this one's going to bring me home. But the bottom line is, like, the hodlers are doing what rich people do. The Vanderbilts, the Van Eycks, the fucking, the Morgans, they're not fucking selling their Manhattan property. They're not, like, you know, day trading gold bars. They're not doing that stuff. So there's different mentalities. The difference with NFTs
None of those people are trading NFTs, though. So this comparison is completely irrelevant. You're like none of them. You're correct. Are we all suddenly going to be billionaires in the future? I don't know. It just doesn't. Anyways, Benjamin saying, don't take the bait. Sorry, P.O. I didn't mean to.
Nothing to apologize about. It's just, the thing is you just have to keep in mind, you have an army of people that are like, we love to sell because we're trying to make $50. And it's like, at the end of the day, there's just
no, I'm trying to make millions, baby. That's what I'm talking about selling, is millions
of
dollars.
Well, I hope you make $1 million in the next year and a half through trading. I will pat you on the back. I'll be blown away.
Keyboard Monkey is, well, he's actually articulated how it doesn't make him happy. And I've actually seen a lot of other people that buy large houses and then end up downsizing because they're just like, oh, this is just expensive.
Yeah, it's too much
maintenance. And I'm not happy. I think there definitely is diminishing returns. But I think it's interesting to see someone like him. I will say, though, like, as much as it sucks, he's still living a baller life, can do whatever he wants, has the capital available, and can then buy up and scoop Bitcoin and these other things at a cheap discount. And I have no doubt that he probably believes in this space as a whole. I just think that he's buying it he's looking to buy low, sell high.
That's also a full-time job and it's its own skill set that both of you guys have an assload of experience with. Like, Easy's got probably even more, Easy's younger than you. You guys probably have similar experience with that.
He's got 20 years on me. So, like, I was still, like, being born when he was going long. So that's where we're at.
I'm a medium to long-term holder, though, but with most things.
Dude, you have technical analysis skill set. Like, Joe Flipperhead does not have technical analysis skill set and, you know, a mountain of experience with trading and selling. So that's, like, the thing is, like, you know, all these guys are like, ha-ha, like, I'm this slick trader. And it's like, bro, like, you better know the history of trading. You better have examples out the yin-yang. You better be studying markets that go back as far as the ancient Romans, like, their economy.
That's the level of analysis that I've done. I've gone back to ancient history in order to figure out what the future would be here, but yeah.
And if you want to continue to make $1 million off trading, then you're going to have to do that.
Well, this was great. We made it through all of the projects that we wanted to.
The lightning round was so fast.
The lightning round was so fast that we got hung up on a debate over Bitcoin.
Joseph Girardi said he's offended because he's Joe Flipperhead. Like, his name is Joe.
Well, we now found him. He said, we got some show going on here, some sweet Solana action coming up.
Yeah. Yo, we're rolling all this right into the Solana show Twitter. And sign up for FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX where you can buy and sell to your heart's content because we know you want to sell this shit. So go on FTX, set those limit sell orders, do all your shit.
Real quick, Zama said in the comments, Rome collapsed because they didn't sell. That's so true, dude. That's what history shows. Because they didn't sell Bitcoin at the top.
That is true. That is LOL funny. Solana made easy.
God,
5 p.m.
Stop saying that.
5 p.m.
Did you ever see that Curb Your Enthusiasm episode?
LOL. LOL. There isn't a moment of Curb Your Enthusiasm that your boy hasn't seen. So make any reference you want.
Smash that subscribe. A lick of the like.
FTX. Thenifty.com/FTX. Code the Nifty on the FTX mobile app.